from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of September, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. They're right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, China is not happy about an import duty the Obama administration has imposed on tires. It's complained to the WTO. Monsanto is cutting back its workforce to the tune of 8%. It's a cut the company lays squarely on the back of poor Roundup sales. And Citigroup has dropped Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan from a buy to a hold. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, as we wrap up this program about 26 minutes from now, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat was 10¾ lower at $4.31, December at $4.54, down 13¼, and the March wheat at $4.73¾ for the soft red, down 13¼. Kansas hard red down $10¼ lower at $4.56½. From the corn pit now. In Chicago, nearby September, $3.05, down 9½. December, down 2 at $3.17¾. March at $3.31¼, a penny and 3/4 lower. And the May futures, 2 cents lower at $3.40½. July corn at $3.49½, down 1 and 3/4. September soybeans for the day, $9.25, down 59½ cents. The rest of the pit did not follow suit. November contract was 6 cents higher today at $9.09. January at $9.13¾, up 3 and 3/4. The March up 2 and 3/4 at $9.18¼. And the May beans at $9.18, a penny and a half higher. July futures were off or down a half cent at $9.20¼. September bean meal, $28 lower at $310. October at $283.30, up $2.80. September bean oil at $33.15, down 21. October 12 lower at $33.40. And the lean hogs at $50.95 were down $1.52½. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby gold futures finished that contract at $999.90, $5 lower on the day. Ethanol at $1.61 was a penny and 6 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.36 2/10, up 40 2/10 cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.74 6/10, a penny and 3 cents lower. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.74. Up a penny and 4 cents, and the October propane futures at 95 6/10 cents, down 2 cents on the day. The October crude oil futures, $68.86, down 43 cents on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now 12 points higher at 9,617. The U.S. dollar currently trading 76.69, is down 0.08 on the afternoon. And the CRB index at 252.67 is up 1.55 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says tonight in the north and central sections of the two states, clear to partly cloudy, some patchy fog forming in the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, some thunderstorms in the far south. Lows generally ranging from 54 in the northeastern part of Indiana to 62 in southwestern Illinois, except in the mid-60s in Chicago. Tomorrow, says Ed, in the north and central sections, partly to mostly sunny across the two-state region. In the south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, some thunderstorms. High, says Ed, will range from 75 near Lake Michigan to 83 in some central locations. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms may linger in far southern portions of Illinois and Indiana on Wednesday. Farther north, drier weather will prevail, says Ed. Dry weather expected Thursday through early next week. More on the agricultural weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Tony Noel Ag Center at Parkland College in Champaign, Illinois, for another one of our free Illinois Public Media Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting begins at 7 o'clock. Panelists include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, Mike Georgie of Allendale, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. That's at the Anderson Room in the Tony Noel Ag Center at Parkland College this evening at 7. The meeting is free. No advance registration is required, and we hope to see you there.
Before we start today, I'd like to take time to remember an old friend who passed away over the weekend, and it has something to do with you. Roger Oltmans lived just a half mile up the road from my parents' farm. He was a hog farmer, though those were mostly gone by the time I really learned anything about him. And he was a character. And though he's no relation, my brothers and I always called him Uncle Rog. He had this great big booming voice that seemed to fall from the sky, and it landed right on top of you. I didn't know until I read it in the Lincoln Courier this morning, but suspect that voice developed when he served as a sergeant in the Air Corps for the nation during the Second World War. Now, Uncle Rog had an easy smile that went along with that voice, so it wasn't all that scary. He also had a Massey Ferguson combine. He always had a Massey Ferguson, and man, was it slow, or he was in the field, though I suspect it was a bit of both. Roger Oltmans, like most farmers born in the first half of the last century, was missing an appendage. He lost most of a hand in a feed grinder for those pigs. Now, that hand looked like a flipper with a thumb. It wasn't ugly or scary. It was just Uncle Rog to a kid like me. So I'll say a prayer for Roger Oltmans this week before they lay him in his final resting place, and one for you, too. The harvest season is on us, and you know as well as I do that it will be long, drawn out, and tiresome. So in about a week and a half, when I start telling you to shut that combine off and to close your eyes and to take a nap during this show, I'll mean it. Roger Oltmans was a character for a lot of reasons. A lot of them were good reasons. The hand, that wasn't one of them. And I suspect, though I don't know, that it came in part because he was tired. So, get your rest during the harvest season.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Tell me, Kurt, what is it that you saw in the marketplace today, especially in the bean pit? Why such a big drop?
Well, the weekend weather was favorable. Short-term weather was favorable. Harvest activity taking place late last week in the beans. We heard some pretty good yields in the southern part of the U.S., and so I think that coupled with the Chinese news that we're going to see some trade disputes take place sort of put the fear into the marketplace that maybe we could seep a little lower here. But as the day wore on, we continue to see a cold forecast for the September 25th, 27th time window. We saw a little better expected crush. The bean export news was strong again. China bought 113,000 tons of U.S. beans, and there's some 110,000 tons sold to South Korea. So those were supporting features, along with the ongoing talk of white mold and sudden death in the beans, which maybe puts the bean yield still questionable, Todd.
Well, as you take a look at it then, for both corn and soybeans, farmers will be getting their combines out. They'll be getting ready to go here in the next couple of weeks, maybe 3 to 4 weeks out for some producers. But it's starting to turn across at least this portion of the Midwest, and I suspect other places. What should farmers be considering in their marketing plans?
Well, it depends on where one's at. You know, there's some individuals that got a few individuals, put that way, that got pretty well sold up to where they wanted to be. A lot of individuals was still moving the old crop and didn't get a whole lot of the new crop price. So You know, if you're one that's going to be faced with maybe a quality issue or having to look at commercial storage, we're looking at moving that crop and replacing it on paper. We've got some ideas on how to do that, and we'll be incorporating those this fall. If your one's pretty well sold up or you got on-farm storage, you're going to have pretty good quality of grain to put in the bin. We would look at maybe on corn, at least go ahead and put that in the bin and maybe hedge the diverge and capture some carry. But we feel the harvest is going to be drawn out over a period of time. We don't feel there's going to be a whole lot of harvest pressure all at once. If there would be an early frost freeze, that would sort of change the picture on that observation. But we feel that the market's probably going to grind directionally here over the next month or two, then catch and do a seasonal up move in here as we go into early winter time.
So the marketplace, which is telling producers to hang on with the carry, you're suggesting go ahead and store it if they can.
On
corn or buy it back. On the soybeans, probably the opposite, I would think. Is that right?
Move it, and you can replace it on paper. The thing on the soybean is that near term in here, we could get some strength on maybe less than expected yields and a little tighter U.S. crop. But when you look longer term in the bean forecast, if South America comes on with a lot more acres and their weather is favorable, they're going to have a huge South America crop coming at us next spring. So we would use any type of production concern here in the U.S. here as we go into fall, early winter to get those pretty well cleaned up.
Since most people are in agreement that beans should be sold across the scale and be moved in some form, when do you do it? Do you do it on the day you harvest, or do it now? How do you pick and choose?
Well, traditionally, a producer will do it or sell them the day before he's stuck with storage cost. It's been the trend in the past. It's going to be hard to really sell anything forward here unless you're starting to see your crop mature and get ready. For anything that's not started to turn, guys are going to be hesitant to do it, not knowing when their growing season will end. So the thing would probably be as you move it across the scale or once the leaves are pretty well gone, Todd.
And on the flip side, let's talk a little bit about livestock. Should they be taking advantage of price action in the corn pit at this point?
We feel so going into this fall here. We feel you need to accumulate some inventory because once we get through harvest, if the crop's in good condition, producers are going to sit on store until their operating loans do. So we feel we would use weakness in here to gather some inventory here, at least get through the first of the year. We feel there's going to be some movement after the first of the year because a lot of these areas, when you talk to elevator managers, even producers alone, and even trading advisors, a very small percentage of this crop's been marketed, and it's going to be marketed after the first of the year or by right after the first year to generate some cash flow needs. So short-term needs need to be covered till the end of the year. The interesting thing about the livestock sector is that today's news on China, they were going to impose sanctions on our poultry going to China, and,
right.
And I think there's like 400 and some thousand tons of it. I saw anywhere from $350 to $800 million worth. And that put the meat market on a defensive posture this morning. The idea is this poultry would be have to be put here in the U.S. market. But if you look at the poultry that's actually exported to China, half that poultry is chicken feet. And that's not a big market here in the U.S. for poultry feet.
And neither isn't. Kurt, thanks much.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Beijing filed a World Trade Organization complaint today over new U.S. tariffs on Chinese tires, stepping up pressure on Washington in the latest in a series of trade disputes. The Chinese complaint to the WTO in Geneva triggers a 60-day WTO process in which the two sides are to try to resolve the dispute through negotiations. President Barack Obama approved the higher duties on Chinese imports of tires on Friday to slow the rapid growth of U.S. imports of Chinese-made tires, blamed for the loss of thousands of American jobs. Beijing criticized the move as a violation of free trade and called on other governments to oppose protectionism. President Barack Obama's order raised tariffs for 3 years on Chinese tires by 35% in the first year, 30% in the second, and 25% in the third. On Sunday, Beijing announced it would investigate complaints that American auto and chicken products are being dumped in China or benefit from subsidies. The ministry said the U.S. imports have dealt a blow to domestic industries. Monsanto Company says it plans to make deeper workforce cuts than previously announced. Monsanto had said it was cutting about 4% of its staff, or about 900 jobs. The new target of 8% indicates the St. Louis-based company is cutting about 1,800 jobs. Executives say that the cuts are necessary because of surprisingly weak Roundup sales. The company hopes the restructuring will save between $220 million to $250 million annually, with one-third recognized in fiscal year 2010 and the full amount in fiscal year 2011. Citigroup today lowered its ratings on Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan and Mosaic Company to hold from buy, citing the likelihood of limited opportunities for fertilizer application this fall and other concerns. Officials in Citigroup say that the lateness of corn harvest could mean that fall fertilizer application will be limited this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week, both programs you can find on our website to listen to anytime you'd like at willag.org. And while you're there, you can sign up to have them delivered to you automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. Up next, Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture forecast a 2% increase in the size of this season's corn harvest. I'll have more on what that might mean with Daryl Good from the U of I. USDA says the nation's corn harvest will top 13 billion bushels. That's 193 million more than forecast last month and comes as the cool August weather provided higher expected yields. The highest, in fact, national yield on record at 161.9 bushels to the acre. It blows the previous record at 160 bushels to the acre out of the water, but as University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says, shouldn't come as a shock. What might have the trade in deeper consideration, he says, are the numbers in the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report. It sends a unique, if not wholly different, message about that great big impending corn crop.
Basically, the message is if you produce it, it will get used. USDA does see prospects for larger exports than projected last month and slightly higher feed and residual use. So even though we've got a bigger crop estimate at this point, it really did not raise the ending stocks projection very much because of that increased use and because USDA thinks our beginning stocks will be a little less than previously estimated because of more corn used for ethanol for the year that just ended.
Beginning stocks are lower 25 million bushels, reflecting higher expected corn use for ethanol in 08 and 09 based on record July and August production of gasoline blends with ethanol, as reported by the Energy Information Agency, or the EIA. Total U.S. corn use for the 09-10 season is projected at a record 13 billion bushels. It's up 150 million bushels from the last month, and 980 million bushels higher than the 08-09 season. Feed and residual use is raised 50 million bushels based on higher expected production. Exports are raised 100 million bushels, with higher projected imports for Canada and lower production in South America. And ending stocks are projected 14 million bushels higher.
Bottom line is, it looks like USDA expects this big crop to get used, but also that it will take slightly lower prices to get that job done. The midpoint of their price projection dropped 15 cents to $3.35. And that's about where the market is right now. So I think the market had this report factored in fairly closely.
The 2009 marketing year average farm price is now projected lower at $3.05 to $3.65 per bushel, compared with $3.10 to $3.90 last month. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Matt Payne of the Andersons, right here in Champaign County, joins us to talk about the cash grain market this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Hello, Todd.
There's some discussion earlier on today during this program, and then, of course, last week about what to do with soybeans exactly. The idea here, of course, is that the marketplace, the futures, are telling producers they may as well go ahead and sell them. So can you give me some options for producers that think they want to do that? What should they do?
I think probably right now their best bet would to put it on a basis contract rather than sustain the DP charges or storage charges you'd get at the local elevator. I think basis right now is as strong as historically as ever at pretty much all the local facilities. Otherwise, you know, just hold on to them, because I still feel that this bean market's going to rally just with South America's expectations of having another low crop, and I think we're not going to have the carryout that the USDA says we are.
If they were to do that today, what's the difference between futures price and your price for harvest?
Right now, our basis is only 15 cents below the futures value. So, you know, $8.99 cash is what a basis or what cash would be. 15 cents basis contract, you know, and then you could roll to the January if you need to.
Right, so you lock it in on that, and then you roll it up forward, waiting for a higher price if
absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely.
And when, here, the second question then is, how long do you wait? At what trigger would you go ahead and make the sale after you've locked that basis in? How low would you wait? How low would you let it go before you would make the sale is the question.
I'd say $8.50.
All right, so not much,
yeah.
but there it is. Yeah, what are your bids for the day?
Right now, September delivery corn, we're at 320 through the 20th, through the 31st, 318. Fall delivery, $3. Feast delivery, 308. For beans, September 1 through the 15th, 359 cash. The 16th through the 25th, 919. Fall delivery, 904. And feast delivery, 899.
Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, Matt Payne, he is with the Andersons Grain Elevator right here in Champaign County. Joins us this afternoon.
It's Eat a Hoagie Day. It's also National Cream-Filled Donut Day. Hanson Gregory, an American, claimed to have invented the ring-shaped donut in 1847 aboard a lime trading ship when he was only 16 years old. Gregory was dissatisfied with the greasiness of donuts twisted into various shapes and with the raw center of regular donuts. He claimed to have punched a hole in the center of the dough with the ship's tin pepper box and later taught the technique to his mother. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the calendar in Britain and the American colonies jumped from September 2nd to September 14th as the Gregorian calendar was officially adopted, correcting an 11-day discrepancy that existed with most of the rest of the world, which had adopted the Gregorian calendar 170 years earlier. In 1849, Ivan Petrovich Pavlov was born. Pavlov's work with dogs actually started as a study of digestion. He performed a series of experiments on dogs to show how digestive secretions are regulated. Pavlov noted that dogs began to salivate if they were able to see, smell, or taste food. Pavlov suspected that digestion must be partially controlled by sensory stimuli, what he called a conditioned reflex. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. We always talk on Mondays with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark Russo joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I bet from your vantage point high atop the Chicago skyline that you can see a long ways this afternoon. Is that right?
That is true. Visibility is very ideal here. Unfortunately, here at Chesapeake, we're not up on like the 90th floor like some individuals here in downtown Chicago, but we're pretty happy with the view here today.
Oh, it's a nice view nonetheless. Beautiful blue skies on this fall afternoon, and it feels like fall, although the temperatures are, about 79 degrees here outside of our studios on the afternoon. It's just a magnificent day, and I guess it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, Todd, it looks like our ideal fall weather here that we've experienced over the past week, and for that matter, much of September thus far, looks to persist at least another week to 10 days. We are going to see slightly cool temperatures work their way into the belt here as we go over the next couple of days, and then actually a little stronger push of cool weather, albeit brief, will occur over the upcoming weekend. We don't see any kind of threatening temperatures from a frost standpoint with any of the cool shots coming down at least over the 8-9 days here. And as a result here, there's a warmer bias per se over the next week to 10 days. And in addition to that, limited rainfall.
Can you get us all the way out to October 1st without a frost?
Well, the item that we're watching here are actually indications of a stronger push of cold air into the Midwest around the September 23rd, 24th time frame. So basically around 10 days out from right now. So it's too early to discuss any kind of specifics. We do think that the northern areas of the belt, i.e. the acreage along and north of I-80, will see some 30s. The question, though, is do you drop below freezing or do you have anything colder than that? So that's what we're watching right now, and that's what going to be refined here in the forecast basically every day as we go through the week.
Let's see. If memory serves, it's 28 degrees. Is it at 2 hours for a killing frost? I think that's correct. So
yes.
We'll have to wait it out and see what happens. Eventually, it will become, because I suppose fall eventually turns to winter, and those numbers are in the offing one way or the other. Check in on other growing regions. How's planting season progressing in South America?
Well, we're just getting started here in areas of Brazil, and they have a really good soil moisture base here as we start up the new planting season. Even same is true for Argentina, which has turned more unsettled here in recent weeks, and that has benefited winter wheat development, but also here as we look ahead towards the summer crop planting season. So at this time, South America weather looks pretty good at the onset of planting.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
Hey, Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office in the Boeing building joins us each and every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.